Well, the top of the Premier League can be a nervy place, and Arsenal will be able to hear the sound of Manchester City closing behind them. With Pep Guardiola's men playing first this weekend, the Gunners' advantage might be down to just 2 points ahead of Sunday's big North London derby. It's also hotting up at the bottom end of the Premier League, with just 7 points now separating the teams from 13th to 18th, and it looks like going to the wire. We've got it all covered on this week's Assist. Welcome along to this week's Assist, brought to you in association with freesupertips.com. I'm Warren Ashurst, and this week I'm joined by Mark Langdon and Aaron Ashley to discuss their thoughts on all of this week's Premier League games, as well as the key matches, of course, in the EFL. And don't forget, you can interact with us and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel, and make sure you check out freesupertips.com for your daily football hackers and bet builders. Well, let's get it straight into it, because there's plenty to discuss. And we have to start, of course, with the North London derby on Sunday, a 4:30 kickoff for Tottenham against Arsenal. And of course, we have the scenario now, Mark, of Arsenal having dropped points dramatically against Wolves in midweek. Where are we at now, do you think, with the title race?
Yeah, I mean, I think Arsenal are the 4-6 favourites, aren't they? So, I mean, yeah, when City were 1-0 down at Anfield, 5 minutes left, you know, I think a lot of people were declaring the title over. And now, you know, it's not that far short of being a sort of 50-50 battle again. I think it's probably right that Arsenal are marginal favourites. I think the fact that, you know, I mean, too many people are just assuming that City are going to beat Arsenal at the Etihad, and it certainly won't be an easy task for City to do that. And I'm not sure I actually trust City to like reel off the away games. I think they're very strong at home, but they've shown a lot of vulnerability away from home at various points this season. So, like, I don't think Arsenal should be panicking too much, but I think that's easier said than done when you was it sort of two decades without a title, and the way that they've thrown it away against Wolves. I mean, to be 2-0 up against a team that basically given up and to not win would have been an absolute sickener, and probably the last thing they needed before heading into a North London derby.
Yeah, and Mark's sort of mentioned it there, Aaron, that the concern for Arsenal more than anything is the atmosphere and the tension surrounding the squad at the moment, because it almost feels like it's just adding that extra layer of pressure for Mikel Arteta's men.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Warren. And having finished second in three straight seasons, obviously prior to this, then there's a big psychological barrier for them to overcome. And then letting that two goal lead slip at Wolves, a team that are pretty much already relegated, you have to be concerned whether they have the mindset to actually get over the line. And do they have the killer instinct in the final third that a Manchester City do have? I mean, if Manchester City are 2-0 up at the Molyneux there, they're going to cruise to a 4-5-0 success, you would imagine. So I'm not sure they do. City have been there. They've done it before. Arsenal, they've got to prove they can get over the line. And I think that EFL Cup final, that's going to be a big one, isn't it? That could be a big mental barrier. If Man City go and win that and beat Arsenal, and then they go into the fixture at the Etihad, full of confidence, you'd be worried there. So I think Arsenal will need to win that EFL Cup final just to prove that they can get one over Guardiola's men. I'd be concerned. I'd probably be back in City at this moment in time.
We've got, of course, plenty to talk about regarding Tottenham in a moment, Mark. But just one more word on Arsenal, because, of course, this title challenge this season has been built around a real strong back line and you know, clean sheet after clean sheet earlier in the campaign. But all of a sudden, it seems to be leaking goals now.
Yeah, I think it's impossible, really. Well, unless you're Jose Mourinho's Chelsea when they had John Terry in check, to just be like an absolute machine for 38 matches in the Premier League just doesn't happen, really. You do have blips. You do have moments. You know, how many mistakes has Raya made? You know, even if that was his mistake, it was a mix-up, wasn't there, between a couple of them. Like, he saved them more points than he's cost them this season. But there will be moments where it goes against you. And I do agree with what Aaron's saying there about the sort of killer instincts. And I know that it's something Dan Charles has referenced previously on this sort of Assist, is that, like, Arsenal, when they are relying on 1 and 2 nil wins, it doesn't take much for those to just turn around a bit and a bit of bad luck or a mistake, and you're suddenly throwing away points because you've not gone and got that third and fourth goal. And it's not really in their nature to do that. They feel like they can always sort of see it out. But the fact that it's sort of happened against Wolves, I think if it happens, you know, away at Newcastle, one of them things, but, you know, Wolves, right, really, it really shouldn't happen. And I think that, yeah, like that bottler's tag and all of that, like it's played out in social media and, you know, it will be playing on their mind. But there's nothing like, you know, winning a North London derby and sort of, you know, putting yourself right back into a good spot. So I think that's what Arteta will be saying. You know, we go again, as Steven Gerrard once infamously referenced. And, like, that's what you got to do to win a league title. There will be bumps in the road, and you just, you know, they are still favourites. They've still got a very good defence. I think that bit there about them just going and killing games is probably the one thing that would concern me probably more than this sort of bottler's tag.
Yeah, well, for the neutrals, they've at least got, it would look like a title challenge or title race to look forward to now, between now and the end of the season. Let's talk Tottenham, Mark, and Igor Tudor in particular. What a game to come into as your first as manager of Tottenham, especially with Spurs loitering towards the bottom end of the table. Do you see this as a bit of a, it can't really be a free hit because of the situation Tottenham are in, but nobody's really expecting Spurs to, you know, go out there and beat Arsenal, are they?
No, I agree. Some people have said that maybe they should have kept Frank in as like the sacrificial lamb, let him get beat in this game, and then Tudor or whoever was going to come in sort of have the inverted commas easier games that follow. But I actually think this is a game where, as long as you don't get beat 4-5-0, that would be a disastrous start. Like, I do think that there's much more to be gained than there is to be lost from this, you know, because even if he gets a point, like, it will be seen as a massive result. It will damage Arsenal's title hopes. Obviously, Tottenham are very much in that relegation battle that you referenced at the top of the show. I know most people expect them to get out of it, but you know, West Ham are playing before them, aren't they, on Saturday? Like, that gap could be not very many. So I do think it's a free enough hit, this game, as much as a North London derby can be a free hit. Like, I know some people have questioned whether he's the right person to come in. First of all, it just had to be anyone but Thomas Frank. I think that was the sort of first positive. And while he's not done this job in the Premier League before, he has done this type of job on numerous occasions. You know, he's gone in to a number of teams in Italy and got an immediate tune out of them. It hasn't worked out long term, but nobody really is expecting him to be here for the long term. I think the song they're trying to get going at White Hart Lane is, I think it was East Croatian, he's here on vacation, he'll save us from relegation. He's basically, and for him as well, what an opportunity, because if he does well, he's probably not going to get the Tottenham job, but, yeah, Crystal Palace, looking for a new manager in the summer. Like, Marco Silva, you know, talk about him maybe leaving Fulham. Will Iriola stay at Bournemouth? So, yeah, I think it makes sense. I'm not one of those people that think that this is a stupid appointment. Obviously, you know, they might still get relegated, and then it will be. But I think on the face of it now, I can see why they've brought in Igor Tudor, and I can see why he's come as well.
Before we get your best bets, Aaron, a quick word from you on the appointment. Does it concern you from a Tottenham point of view that Tudor doesn't have that Premier League experience coming into this relegation tackle?
No, it doesn't bother me as such. I mean, he's definitely a short-term fix. I mean, he's been used to getting immediate impacts at teams such as Marseille, Lazio, Juve. He's there to just keep them up. I don't see him being there next season, even if he does have a lot of success from now till then. My only slight concern would be that obviously he likes to like implement a back three with Romero suspended. It's not ideal circumstances straight away. So that would be a slight concern. And he's obviously coming into a team that are crippled by injuries, which is far from ideal. But I mean, Lazio, Juventus, Marseille, they're all big clubs. I mean, so that wouldn't bother me at all that he's not been in the Premier League.
Okay, well, as far as the odds are concerned, Tottenham are as big as 5-1 to claim victory in the North London derby. Arsenal 4-7, and the draw is 3-1. Mark, we'll start with you. What's your best bet for Sunday's big game?
Yeah, the best bet for me is over 2.5 goals at 4-5. Tudor's actually, he's football. He's been likened to like a Conte disciple, but I don't think that that should be mean as like a defensive coach. He's very aggressive. His teams like to, get after teams and play. You know, it's counter attack, but it's aggressive counter attack in a 3-4-1-2 that, I'm not sure if he's got the players for it, but that's what he likes to do. So I think you will see a different Tottenham. Defensively, though, no Romero, no Danso. Like, it's going to be a problem, whoever's fit. You know, Porro's been injured, Udogie's been injured. Like, it's an absolute nightmare situation. But as you mentioned earlier, Warren, Arsenal are not defending maybe the same way that they were. 10 of the last 13 North London derbies have been over 2.5 goals. The one at Spurs last season was only 1-0, and it wasn't a great game, actually. But there were still 9 shots on target, even for that match. So I think that this, you know, could sort of live up to the sort of bygone era of kind of North London derbies when they were really chaotic. So overs for me. I wouldn't back Arsenal at 4-7. You know, playing on the Wednesday and the result they had against Wolves in a derby against the new manager, like, I think there's enough reasons there to be going, like, swerving that 4-7.
Aaron, how do you see this one?
Yeah, I agree. I'm singing off a similar hymn sheet here. I'm going both teams to score and overs at 5-4, Warren. Obviously, midweek game, Arsenal conceding twice at Wolves is far from ideal. They've actually conceded in 9 of the last 13 away games. And both teams to score and over 2.5 goals has been a winning bet in 5 of the last 7 North London derbies. In Dominic Solanke, Xavi Simons, I've been really impressed with recently. He looks full of energy. I can see them causing a lot of problems for this Arsenal defence. My only worry would be Tottenham depleted. I can't see them shutting Arsenal out completely. Both teams to score and over 2.5 goals has obliged in Tottenham's home games with Man City, Villa, Liverpool and Newcastle this season. And I expect the same again against Arsenal.
OK, just a reminder, the North London derby at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is a 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. And of course, prior to that, Manchester City will look to close the gap on the league leaders when they play host to Newcastle at the Etihad. And then 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday night, City 12-25 to claim the victory here. It's 17-4 Newcastle and 4-1 the draw. City know that this has to be a victory, Aaron, because, you know, they need to put that continued pressure on Arsenal. Are they going to claim the 3 points here?
Yeah, definitely, Warren. And I think they'll win quite comfortably as well. I'm back in Man City minus 1 goal on the handicap. Newcastle supporters, they must be getting sick to the death of City. They've been knocked out of the EFL Cup by them. They've got them again in the FA Cup coming up soon. And in that EFL Cup tie, City won 2-0 away at St. James's Park. And they were 3-0 up after 32 minutes in the second leg at the Etihad before taking their foot off the gas, which is something they've done in the second half of matches quite a lot this season. But that's normally because they're in complete control of it. And at the Etihad, they're just used to going through the gears. On the back of a 2,500-mile trip to Azerbaijan, I know it was an easy 6-1 win for Newcastle, but it's still a lot of travelling, a lot of mental fatigue there. And I think if City get on top early, they could run riot here, actually.
It is back-to-back away wins for Newcastle at Villa and Carabao, Mark, but it's a big ask to come off the back of that travel, as Aaron says, to go to City and try and cause an upset.
Yeah, I sort of think that even though they've won the game easily, like Wednesday, Saturday, Azerbaijan trip is not, it's definitely not what you'd want. I mean, ordinarily, you'd want that game on the Sunday or even the Monday, but obviously there's a quick turnaround, isn't there, for the second leg. I'm going to go for Man City to win and both teams to score at 13-8. Newcastle have been wide open in recent weeks. Like, just don't look like keeping clean sheets. You go back to that game against Brentford. I mean, how many chances did Brentford create? Even Tottenham, who were absolutely terrible, managed to score against them. They've been thumped 3-1 at City quite recently. So, like, I think they've got enough going forward, and I always sort of feel like City are vulnerable enough to give up a goal, but I think it'll be quite a comfortable victory as well. They'll be smelling blood, City, at the moment, for sure.
Next on our list is the clash at the City ground. Nottingham Forest-Liverpool is a 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, and Vitor Pereira will take charge of Forest for the first time after yet another managerial change at the City ground this season. Mark, what do you think of the appointment of Vitor Pereira? On the face of it, for neutrals, they're probably looking and thinking, well, look at Wolves and where they are at the bottom end of the table, and yet Forrest think that he's the man to get them out of trouble.
Yeah, but he did very well initially at Wolves when he came in, and like, I was surprised it went so badly for him sort of in the second season. I'm not sure all of it was his fault. And like, if you had a look at kind of underlying numbers, they definitely weren't as bad as the league table suggests. And he was somebody I was suggesting just to a couple of Spurs mates that I thought he might have been one that Tottenham were looking at as just somebody to go in. And so, like, I think Forrest needed to change from Sean Dyche. Like, I don't rate him particularly. I certainly don't rate him as highly as what he rates himself. And you know, I think he was fanned out. He was fanned out at Everton. He didn't do amazingly at Everton. He kept them up, but there was no sign of progressive sort of football while he was there. Like, he's got better resources now. He's always said he needs better resources, and you know what he could do if he had better players. Well, he had that at Forest. I think Forest have got good, you know, good players. They've invested heavily in the last couple of years, and like, they were spiraling into huge relegation trouble. Now, we're speaking before Forest have played against Fenerbahce in the Europa League. Like, I don't think you need that Europa League game when you're in a relegation battle, but you still have to take it relatively seriously, and it still just disrupts your planning. And so when you're the worst team and you've got that kind of disadvantage, I think Liverpool at 5-6, fair enough for me. 4 wins in 5. I mean, it might have been 5 out of 5, but, you know, 1-0 up against City with not very long left, and then it all kind of fell apart. They won 1-0, similar game against Sunderland, first team to win at the stadium like the season. I think that they'll win this game as well.
Yeah, so Mark says there, 5-6 Liverpool, 31-10 Forest, and 29-10 the draw. We're hearing, by the way, on Thursday's press conference from Arne Slot that Alexander Isak is back out on the training pitch. So it may well be that he is back playing earlier than expected. It was looking like it was going to be April for the Swedish international. Liverpool could do with a boost on the injury front, because Endo is the latest to be forced onto the sidelines for a long period. Are they going to have enough here, Aaron, to go on and claim a victory?
I can definitely see the case, but I do think the draw is a bit on the big side at 29-10. I mean, as you say, Pereira, he's far from ideal having to go to Fenerbahce on Thursday for your first match and then play Liverpool just a few days later. But Liverpool, their performance have definitely improved, but they have drawn at home to Burnley and Leeds since the start of 2026. And I still think there is a lack of killer conviction in forward areas. They get themselves in a lot of dangerous positions. I mean, they needed a second half header from Virgil van Dijk to score that 1-0 win at the Stadium Alight. And they have won just 3 of their last 11 Premier League away games. Forest, they've played out 3 straight home draws against Arsenal, Palace and Wolves. And Pereira, he does favour a defensive solidity, so he'll keep his team hard to beat, and they'll cause problems on the counter-attack. They're also unbeaten in 3 meetings with Liverpool. They have recorded 2 victories at Anfield, either side of a 1-1 draw in this fixture last season. And I can just see, like, the longer it goes on, it might be pretty cagey. But I think Liverpool, when things get desperate, I'm not completely convinced that they've got enough to see it out.
OK, well, the fourth game on the list is a Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff, and it takes place at Villa Park, where Aston Villa face Leeds. The home side are 17-20 to claim the win here. It's 16-5 Leeds and 5-2 the draw. Just looking at those prices, Aaron, the first thing that stood out to me was actually, when you consider Villa's recent sort of patchy form, quite surprised the price for Leeds.
Yeah, definitely. And it's hard not to be impressed by the turnaround of Leeds, isn't it? They've suffered just 2 defeats in their last 15. They came against Arsenal and Newcastle. And I do actually fancy them to get a positive result at Villa Park. They're full of belief right now, and they've earned draws away at Liverpool and Chelsea since the start of the year. And I think this is a good time to be facing Villa, because they're looking very vulnerable, especially without midfielders John McGinn, Youri Tielemans and Boubacar Kamara. I mean, they're very light in that department. And Leeds, they play with a lot of aggression and intensity in midfield, and I think they'll cause problems for Unai Emery's side. They've won only 2 of the last 6 league matches. They lost 3 of the last 5 at home, and that includes 1-0 league defeats to Everton and Brentford. And I think Leeds will sense another opportunity here. And at 10-11 to avoid defeat, I think that looks on the big side.
Mark, are we seeing what most people thought was the inevitable slight tailing off of Villa at the moment? Or do you think that they can rediscover that previous form?
I mean, I think you're right, Warren. Like, the XG always said that they were punching so far above their weight and sort of the performances, that it was always going to regress. It was always unsustainable. I think they just need to hope, really, that they're in a position where they've got a big enough advantage over some informed teams now. You know, Man United are breathing down their neck. Liverpool have started to pick up results. Like they'll just be hoping that they've got enough in the bank already. Disappointment to go out of the FA Cup last weekend as well. A ridiculous goalkeeping mistake that sort of put paid to their chance in that game. All of a sudden, it's another chance of silverware that's disappeared. So it's still a really positive season for Aston Villa. You know, they could win the Europa League. They're flying in the Premier League. I think they would have taken this at the start of the season. But I agree with Aaron, got exactly the same bet. Leeds or draw, double chance.
Okay, well, Mark mentioned the form of Manchester United on the up, and it's United we look to next, because on Monday night, they make the journey to the Hill Dickinson Stadium to face Everton in an 8 o'clock kickoff. Everton 27-10 here to claim the victory. It's 10-11 United and 11-4 the draw. And not surprisingly, we're already hearing, Mark, a bit of talk and speculation that Michael Carrick could be given the job on a permanent basis. It almost feels like we've been here before. But having said that, United do look like a different beast at the moment.
Yeah, look, United should not be making any decision until the end of the season. And then they've got to take the emotion out of it and just think like a big club for a change. You know, the amount of mistakes they make in sort of what the US would call like the backroom office is incredible. So, look, just let Carrick do what he's doing and assess the whole thing once the season is finished and you know who's available, who might want to come. And look, maybe Carrick is the best option out there, but you need to make sure of that and like not make the same mistake that they have done in the past when they gave Ten Hag a new contract just because he won the FA Cup. You know, he's one game away from the sack, and then they felt like they had to back him, gave him a load of money, and a few months later they're kind of needing a new manager again. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, it was that victory against Paris Saint-Germain when Rio Ferdinand was in the TV studio whooping with delight, you know, that got him that job. So, like, they can't make that mistake again. I think they're going to win this game. I think the clamour for Carrick will grow. So it's one of them where they just need to close their ears to that type of thing. But, like, this is more an Everton. Like, they lost to Bournemouth. I thought they were fortunate to draw against Leeds and Brighton, games that I watched. Like, Fulham could have been out of sight in the first half when they turned it around at Craven Cottage. And I just think United, when they were going to Goodison, they would have felt the heat of the crowd. But it's just a different place, the Hill Dickinson. So I'm going to go for United to win in a game where, you know, I'd fancy them more at the Hill Dickinson than I would at Goodison. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
No, yeah, it does. And I feel like Everton, we thought they might struggle making that move to a new stadium. It didn't materialise earlier in the season, but it does feel a little bit at the moment as though that is having an impact. What have you made of Michael Carrick, Aaron, and United's recent form?
I mean, they were very poor in the 1-1 draw at West Ham last time out. I was quite disappointed, actually. On the back of four wins, they didn't create a lot, and West Ham were probably the team that were threatening the most. They needed a late equaliser on that occasion. But I think we can give them that blip, given the fact that they had won four in a row before that, which obviously included defeats of Arsenal and Manchester City. And it's hard not to be impressed, because the likes of Bruno Fernandes, when he can play further forward, he's just a different animal. He's one of the best players in the Premier League. And Mbeumo and Cunha and Diallo, their pace is terrifying in forward areas. So I expect them to get back on the victory trail at Everton. They're creating a lot of chances. They were before the London Stadium anyway. They're creating so many chances. But they are still prone to defensive frailties. So I'm going to go United to win and both teams to score at 13-5. Both teams have scored in United's last 11 away games. And I think Everton can kind of treat this as a free hit. They're eighth in the table. They're going quite well. They were unbeaten in five before that defeat to Bournemouth last time out. And David Moyes is always keen to get one over his former employers. So I think this will be an entertaining game. Both teams have also scored in Everton's last five at home. So United to win a high-scoring game, and that would suit them as well.
Okay, well, five games down in the Premier League, five to go before we get into the second half of this weekend's fixtures. Just to mark your card, to look out for the February free bet offers on racingpost.com. And also make sure you check out the Racing Post Recommend section, our bookmaker advice service and betting strategies to follow. And you can find all of that, of course, on the main page of racingpost.com. Chelsea is the next venue for their clash with Burnley on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And Chelsea Well, as you might imagine, strong favourites to pick up the points at 2-9, Burnley 11-1, and the draw 11-2. Aaron, I don't think anybody saw that Burnley result coming at Palace, especially when they were 2-0 down as well last time out. But then, of course, they followed that up by falling out of the FA Cup and at the hands of Mansfield. And again, it leads to speculation that maybe Scott Parker might be on his way shortly.
Yeah, it could well be the way, Warren. I mean, to be fair to Burnley, they've upped their attacking intent in a bid for survival. I mean, their hopes are extremely slim, and for me, they've almost got pretty much gone. But I think the fact that they will come out with an aggressive style, they will try and attack Chelsea, will be to their downfall, and I think Chelsea will just pick them apart. To be honest, I mean, they've had a really good start in the Premier League under Rosinia. They'd won four in a row before that recent 2-2 draw with Leeds, and I just don't see how they can slip up in this game. They scored three in the wins against Palace, West Ham and Wolves, and I'm going to tip them at 5-6 to score three or more against Burnley. As I said, Burnley, I think they will come out and they will try and attack, because there's no point of just drawing and trying to pick up the odd points here and there. They need to win games. And they've conceded at least twice in 9 of the last 12 Premier League outings. And Chelsea, with talisman Cole Palmer rediscovering his spark, I think they'll put them to the sword and they'll smash them here, actually, Warren, yeah.
Interesting, Mark, when you compare the two managers at the moment, because obviously Scott Parker under immense pressure. It feels like he gets a good result and then he gets hit with a sledgehammer the next week with this FA Cup defeat. But then Liam Rossini's had, you know, quite a lot of criticism before a ball was kicked in charge of Chelsea, but maybe a few people are changing their opinions of him.
Look, the Rosinia criticism is way over the top. I'm struggling to know where it comes from. Like, there's the old LinkedIn style quote, and you know, he likes to be. There's a bit of Brent about him, you know, David Brent. But like, ultimately, he's a young English manager that's at a big club, started well. And people just want to mock him, and I don't know why. Like, I think he's really intelligent. He, like, tactically, when he speaks on the game, very interesting. He's, I think, done well wherever he's gone. Now, I'm not saying he should have got the Chelsea job. I think that was a, you know, a big step for him up. But he seems to be doing fine. And that Leeds game that Aaron referenced, I mean, they were fantastic, Chelsea. I don't know how they. I mean, it's just like a 5-minute crazy spell that cost them. Yeah. And then just on Scott Parker, I mean, like, what is he supposed to do at Burnley? They've got a championship team. So, it's hard. Like, Sunderland went out and bought a whole new team, invested heavily, but Burnley haven't. And that's the difference. I'm not saying I want Parker to be the next Tottenham manager. I'm just saying, I think Burnley's about his level, and I think it's about the right level, you know, for both of them, really. And
if they're arguably down, as well, Mark, weaker Burnley now than they were last season.
Yeah. And look, if they go down, he's a decent guy to get you back up again. So I won't put the boot into Scotty Parker. I haven't got a strong bet in this game. I just looked at João Pedro, 4-1 first goal scorer. Thought that was sort of fair enough. He's got 6-8. Palmer supplying the ammo. He looks the most likely to me. But Palmer's the favourite, but I just think João Pedro is the one to be on.
Well, Saturday evening's tea time kickoff is a 5:30 start at the London Stadium, where West Ham take on Bournemouth. And the Hammers, of course, still in desperate need of the points in the battle to avoid the drop. 27-20, Bournemouth 9-5, and it's 27-10 the draw. I can't quite get over or put my finger on, Mark, just how quick it's turned around for West Ham and how much better they look in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think the signing of the two new forwards definitely lifted the team. Selling Paquetar, I think, was something that needed to be done. He was playing for himself rather than the team. They look more balanced without him. And they've been more positive. And the fans have responded to that positivity. Like, always helps when they beat Tottenham, because, yeah, it's the biggest game of their sort of season, really. So the boost they got from that Callum Wilson late goal, really, I think, connected the kind of the team and the manager and the fans. And the atmosphere against Man United the other week was about as good as it's been at London Stadium for a long, long time. I think the fans sense that they can catch somebody now, and, you know, there's real hope. I think this is going to be a great game, actually. I've gone for both teams to score an over 2.5 goals in this one. West Ham still only got two clean sheets in the Premier League, but they're playing this like 4-2-4 system now. And we know that Bournemouth are going to have a go because that's just what Bournemouth do. 10 of their last 11 have seen both teams score. So, yeah, over 2.5 and both teams to score.
Yeah, what have you made of the turnaround, Aaron, at West Ham? And do you think you can stay up now?
It's difficult because a lot of the teams down there, they're all picking up at the same time, aren't they? But it's hard not to be impressed with West Ham. I mean, they picked up 10 points from 5 league games to keep those survival hopes alive. And as Mark referenced there, the 4-2-4 formation they're playing in, Jared Bowen and Somerville are absolutely shining it. And they just look a constant threat to whoever they're playing against. The defeat in that run was that when they threw that 2-0 lead away at Chelsea, when first half they were absolutely spectacular. And then it was one of those where confidence was low at the time and it got back to 2-1 and then 2-2 and suddenly you kind of know what's going to happen. But it's hard not to be impressed with them. I think they were the better team against Man United at home, and I think they can beat Bournemouth here. I mean, I know Bournemouth, they've responded well to their mid-season slump, but I think they're still prone to a blip. They've won just 3 times in 13 away league games and they've leaked 31 goals on the road. So West Ham with confidence up, Bowen and Somerville playing well. I think they can win this one. They're going to be treating every match until the end of the season now as a cup final. The atmosphere will be electric. And 5:30 Saturday at the London Stadium, I think they can get this done.
Well, everything's on the up for West Ham at the moment. And in stark contrast, Crystal Palace seem to have all sorts of problems to deal with as they head into Sunday's 2 o'clock kickoff against bottom club Wolves. Palace are 8-13 to claim the win here. Wolves 17-4. And the draw 31-10. What do you make of this one, Aaron?
I mean, Palace, they know a victory will go a long way to retaining their top flight status. Throwing that lead away against Burnley was far from ideal. And this comes 3 days on from a trip to Bosnia in the Conference League, which again is not great preparation. But Wolves, they had a tough examination of their own against Arsenal. They would have put a lot of effort into that still to get that 2-2 draw. So I'm not sure that I fancy them to offer resistance here, considering they've not won away yet this season. I'm actually going to back Jorge and Strand Larsen to score against his former club. The Norwegian completely down-tooled at Wolves and clearly wanted to move away, but he's already shown his quality for Palace with that brace against Burnley. I mean, last season, if you remember, he scored 14 goals in 35 league appearances for Wolves. So I'm completely ignoring his form at the Molyneux this season. And I think he could score against his former club and I think he'll be desperate to do so. So 5-4, anytime goal scorer for me.
Yeah, Strand Larsen, a lot of people questioned him, Mark, how much was paid for the Norwegian. He did pop up with 2 goals against Burnley. Is he going to save Palace from the drop?
Well, somebody needs to. And if Mateta's, if it's not going to be Mateta and he's, and his injury problems, well, I think it's a waste of money. But you're right, if it keeps them up, they probably feel like it's money well spent. I just, I think Wolves have got the better end of that deal. In the long term, I'm going to go for Wolves to win at 9-2. Like, Palace were seen as massive relegation candidates before beating Brighton. I mean, Brighton are in absolutely hopeless form themselves. If you can lose to Burnley, you can lose to Wolves. That's my sort of sense on it. And as Aaron said, they've got this game on Thursday against a team I've literally never heard of before. But, not ideal to be playing away from home on the Thursday and then having such a massive game on the Sunday against Wolves, because they'll be just banking on 3 points, much like Arsenal did on Wednesday. But just because you need to win doesn't mean you will.
Nope, that's often the case. We've got 2 more games to look forward to now in the Premier League, and we'll start off at the GTEC Community Stadium. Brentford-Brighton is a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. You just mentioned it there, Mark. Brighton in absolute free fall at the moment, and they've been dragged into this relegation battle as well.
I mean, if they don't realise they're in one, they better wake up, because their performances, the game against Palace, like, for what's a derby game, I know that it's not close sort of in terms of miles, but in terms of hatred, it's a real derby game. And I didn't think they were off a yard. And like, gone to Anfield and played some okay football, but like, I thought it was a still pretty poor display. I've no idea really what their best 11 is. They just seem to have a bunch of players that are all of about the same ability. And like, he's chopping and changing the team. I think Hörsler looks lost at the moment as well. That being said, I'm just not mad on the Brentford price. Like, I always think Brentford, like, they've had 3 home draws in 6. You look at the games they haven't won in that time, didn't beat Leeds, didn't beat Tottenham, didn't beat Forest. And like they're three teams that are in a relegation battle, much like I think Brighton are. So I'm going to go for a draw at 14-5. No love lost in the Baldrum, of course. Matthew Benham against Tony Bloom. I think I don't think Bloom goes in the director's box, as he for this. Mm-hmm. He likes to watch it with a fan. So two legends of the punting game, could be honours even.
Okay, well, maybe more than just the 3 points at stake then in terms of this game on Saturday. I wonder whether Brighton are going to wake up just in time here, Aaron, to survive it in the top flight. But it's one of those where it often happens, doesn't it, where all of a sudden from nowhere you get on a bad run and before you realise that you are so close to that bottom three.
Exactly that, Warren. I mean, it's difficult because Seagulls, they're winless in six, Brighton, but their performances have been so bad. I mean, they're not even created like a flurry of chances like we used to be with Brighton. They used to always be able to cause problems for the big boys because they just created so many chances. But they've not won away in the Premier League since November. They were very bad at Aston Villa in the 1-0 defeat. And that came after the 1-0 defeat at home to Palace when they were even worse. And it's worrying signs. And I mean, Fabian Hürsler, he must be starting to feel some pressure here because they are getting dragged into this relegation battle, and as Mark said, he mixes his team around a lot. He's got a lot of young players. It's a bit like, does he have the experienced heads to get them out of this if they do truly get dragged into it? And I'm not convinced. I mean, Brentford, I've been so impressed with the job Keith Andrews has done. It was big shoes to fill, Thomas Franks, and they've responded to every setback they've been dealt with. They've only lost twice in 13 home league games, and they were much the better team in that 1-1 draw against Arsenal at home, I thought. So I don't mind the price on Brentford, actually. And I think they'll win here because Brighton, they just look starved of confidence, starved of quality. And that FA Cup win at Macclesfield, Andrews was able to rest his star men. So they should be fresh and raring to go. So yeah, I fancy Brentford to win this one.
Okay, last but not least, we're going to head to the Stadium of Light for Sunderland against Fulham. It is another 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Both of these two teams will feel like they've still got an outside chance maybe of qualifying for Europe. Sunderland 17-10. It's also the same price for Fulham and 9-4 the draw. The prices, Aaron, suggest that they think the bookmakers that they're very evenly matched. What do you think?
I think this is by far the trickiest game of the weekend, this one, Warren. I mean, Sunderland hadn't lost at home until that 1-0 defeat to Liverpool, and Fulham, they're a quirky side. I can never get Fulham right. I find it so difficult. Which Fulham are going to turn up, I'm not sure. I'm going to go for a late goal in this one. A goal to be scored after the 73rd minute at 5-6. I mean, Fulham won the reverse fixture at Craven Cottage 1-0, and Raul Jimenez got the goal in the 84th minute. And late drama has been a common theme for the Cottagers this season. There's been at least one goal after the 80-minute mark in 10 of their last 11 matches, and 5 of the last 8 have featured injury time strikes. But Sunderland, obviously, they're going to be hard to beat. They've only lost once at the Stadium of Light this season, and that was a 1-0 defeat to Liverpool. So they'll be tough to break down. But I can just see a late goal in this one, a tight game, and then a late winner. But I'm not sure who for.
Do you find it hard to call this one, Mark, as well?
I just knew this would be last on your list, Warren. That was about the easiest thing to predict here. I'm going to go Sunderland draw, no bet. I feel like the prices suggest that there's like very little between the teams. But I think home advantage is considerable for Sunderland. And Fulham, I agree that they're quirky, but they haven't lost 4 of the last 5 in the league. And Granit Xhaka, his absence has definitely hurt Sunderland in recent weeks. But I'd let the prices dictate my bet, and I thought Sunderland should have been short here.
Okay, well, that is the Premier League wrapped up then for another week here on The Assist. Next up, it's the Fantasy Premier League update, and then we'll discuss all things EFL. Well, it's FPL time again now, and Tom Hill joins us once again to give us his suggestions of who to select for your fantasy team in Game Week 27.
After the first double game week of the season, we turn our attention to game week 27 with matches scheduled across Saturday, Sunday and Monday. This week's deadline is set for 1:30 on Saturday, so it's time to discuss our best 3 outfield players of the week. Crystal Palace have a favourable fixture this week as they welcome Wolves to Selhurst Park on Sunday, and Daniel Munoz is one to consider at the back for £5.9 million. He has featured in 4 consecutive games since returning from injury, and he appears to be slowly reaching his best form. Munoz had 2 shots and created 5 chances against Burnley last week, and this Palace team he practically plays as a right winger in that final third. Wolves have only scored 5 away goals, so there's every chance he gets a return at both ends of the pitch. In midfield, Chelsea's Cole Palmer looks to be the main man to own, with the England international due to face Burnley at home. Palmer, who will now set you back £10.6 million, has scored 32 points in 2 weeks. He's well rested ahead of a visit of one of the worst teams in the league. Burnley have shipped 32 away goals this season, the most of any team, and that could mean Palmer is primed to add to his tally of 8 goals and 2 assists. Up front, Brentford will fancy their chances of extending their unbeaten run to 5 games when they take on Brighton, and our option for the final third is Igor Thiago. The Seagulls are winless in 6 in all competitions, and that bodes well for the striker. He's a favourable run of fixtures in the coming weeks, and he'll be on penalties against a team that have hit a flat spot. His minutes are guaranteed, and this looks like a great week for him to score his 18th league goal of the season.
Big thanks to Tom. We're going to move from FPL to EFL now, and the big talking point this week has been Blackburn's appointment of Michael O'Neill, who will share jobs as boss of Rovers and the Northern Ireland national team. He did get off to a winning start with a 3-1 victory at QPR, but, well, there's been rumours this week, Aaron, that they were looking at potentially somebody like Slaven Bilic to come in before they appointed Michael O'Neill. It's an interesting one to kind of share jobs. Can they keep him up, do you think?
I mean, it is a very interesting one. I mean, first of all, with Northern Ireland facing Italy in World Cup qualifying at the end of March, I don't think for a second he'd have taken the job if he didn't think it would distract him. And if anything, I think it's probably going to keep him sharp. And a lot of his groundwork for the World Cup would have already been done. And a lot of his Northern Ireland squad actually play in the Championship. So I actually think I can see the positives on that front. He did a similar thing at Stoke a few years ago. So he has a good understanding of the Championship. And he'll know exactly what to do, not to make it impact him like he did on that occasion. Blackburn, they've still got to play a lot of the teams around them. And I think his experience of international football in like one-off games where you've got a win at this time of the season is definitely a positive. And we know the bounce back a new appointment can give you. So I think he can steer them to safety, Warren. Yeah, I'd be more worried about a few of the other teams around them.
So Michael O'Neill has the task in hand of keeping Blackburn in the Championship. And talking of the second tier, we're going to head to that now and this weekend's fixtures and Aaron's best bet in the Championship. Who are we looking at here?
I like the price on Millwall to beat Portsmouth at 5-6. Millwall, they're flying high. They're third in the Championship. They've taken 10 points from their last 4 games. And the Den's notoriously been a tough place to go. They've won 9 of their 16 league games there. And they've also had the benefit of not having to play a midweek fixture like Portsmouth, who were 3-1 winners at Charlton on Tuesday. However, 2 of those goals were long-range strikes. The other was a penalty. And even so, that was only their third away win from 15 games. And they're far more reliable at Fratton Park. So I expect Millwall to continue their push towards the playoffs with a home win.
OK, so it's the Lions in the Championship. We're moving on to League One now, where things are starting to take shape at the top end of the table. What about the selection of this week in League One, Aaron? Who are we looking at?
Yeah, I'm going to stay at the top end of the League One table as well. And Lincoln away at Mansfield at 11-10. Lincoln now have an 8-point cushion over third place Bolton in League One. And they're showing absolutely no signs of cracking. They beat Northampton 4-0 on Tuesday. That stretched their unbeaten run in the league to 15. And they've taken maximum points in 11 of those matches. They've won 4 of the last 5 on the road, the latest of which was a 4-1 thrashing of Plymouth. And this looks a good time to travel to Mansfield. The Stags lost 1-0 at Blackpool in midweek. That stretched their winless run in the league to 6. And I just wonder how much last weekend's FA Cup success at Burnley could have taken out of them.
Yeah, quite possibly. Lincoln were being tipped by many to maybe fade away later in the promotion battle, but they're certainly impressing over recent weeks. So we've had Championship and a League One selection. Finally, who are we picking, Aaron, in League Two?
I'm going to go for Swindon to make it 6 wins in 7 League Two games at home to Crewe. Crewe managed only 1 shot on target in Tuesday's 1-0 loss at home to Fleetwood. The Robins, they're back up to second after a wobble. They're within 3 points of leaders Bromley. And Crewe, they've managed just 1 win in their last 6 away games. They don't score too many goals. Swindon are pretty explosive up front, so I think Swindon can make the most of home advantage.
Okay, so just a reminder of Aaron's EFL picks for this week in the Championship, League One and League Two. We're looking at Millwall, Lincoln and Swindon. It's Mark's turn now. We're going to head to the Premier League again for a bet builder. And Mark, I think we're looking at the game at the Etihad on Saturday.
Yeah, so Man City smelling blood at the sort of title race in the Premier League. I think they'll come flying out of the traps against Newcastle, going for City to be leading at half time and full time, you know, to win the game in full time. Like, the game was over, wasn't it? That League Cup semi-final in the first half when they met recently. Like, maybe there'll be more resistance from Newcastle, but not enough. For me, in terms of the second leg, going for over 2.5 goals, like, City are, you know, irresistible when they get going in those forward areas. Newcastle, very good on the counter-attack. Like, you know, Anthony Gordon, obviously, you know, rampant in midweek in the Champions League. They've got that fluidity on the counter, I think, to at least nick a goal in the game. But I expect City to win comfortably enough. And that plays into the third leg of the bet, Semenyo to have a shot on target. He had a really quiet debut in terms of the Premier League when he was when City were terrible, weren't they, at Manchester United? But since then, had a couple of shots on target against Wolves, another two on target against Tottenham, one on target against Liverpool, and then another one against Fulham. So, yeah, it's the City to be leading at half-time and win the game, over 2.5 goals, and Semenyo to have a shot on target. Not the biggest price this week, round about the 5-2 mark. Do shop around, but hopefully it lands.
Yeah, I've been so impressed with Antoine Semenyo over the last few weeks, having a big impact already at Manchester City. So that's Mark's bet builder. We're going to move on to the assist treble now, a selection from each of us. And Aaron, we'll start with your pick first. Who are you going for?
I'm going to go for Millwall at home to Portsmouth, Warren. Just one defeat in 12 home games for Millwall. They're third, 20 points above Portsmouth, who are still in a bit of relegation danger. And they don't tend to travel the best away from Fratton Park. And they did have a tough game in midweek.
Okay, so it's Millwall for Aaron. Who's your pick, Mark?
I'm staying in the Championship. Middlesbrough had a setback in their promotion bid in that top-of-the-table clash against Coventry on Monday. There's a big difference between playing Coventry away and Oxford at home. Could be two divisions between the two teams next season. Oxford lost four of their last five. And the one that they didn't lose, they were absolutely battered in that 0-0 draw with Coventry. And if they give up half as many chances, Middlesbrough should land the odds at 4-9.
Okay, well, I'm dropping down into League Two because I was surprised to see Chesterfield as big as 13-10 to win at Crawley on Saturday. The Spireites are just currently inside the playoff places and can't afford to take the foot off the gas with a number of teams all looking to get in those spots. Chesterfield unbeaten in the last five, and their away form has been better than their home form in recent months. They've won back-to-back matches on the road, and in fact, they've lost just one of their last 10 League Two away games. Crawley, meanwhile, they did pick up a useful point against the odds at MK Dons on Tuesday, but now just 2 points outside the relegation zone after collecting just one win in six. Chesterfield were winners at Crawley last season, and I think they can do it again on Saturday. So just a reminder that the assist treble is Chesterfield, Millwall and Middlesbrough. And we'll conclude with the naps of the week from Mark and Aaron. And Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, so I think it's a game that West Ham will feel they need to win against Bournemouth. And I think that should lead to plenty of goals. So I'm going for both teams to score and over 2.5 goals in the game. West Ham rarely keep clean sheets, and Bournemouth games are consistently goal heavy. So hopefully both teams can get on the score sheet in a game featuring at least three goals.
Yeah, should be a cracker at London Stadium. Aaron, what's your nap of the week?
I'm going to stick with the Premier League, Warren. I'm going to go Brentford at home to Brighton. Brentford, they've won 7 of their 13 home games. I've been really impressed with them this season. They're 9 points above the Seagulls. And Fabian Hertz has been feeling the heat. No winning six for the Seagulls. And yeah, I just fancy Brentford at home. I think that's a good price, actually.
OK, so just a reminder then, the naps of the week for Aaron, it's Brentford, and for Mark, it's both teams to score at over 2.5 goals in the clash between West Ham and Bournemouth. Big thanks to both Mark and Aaron for their input on this week's show. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We also always like to see your comments on there. The assist will return next Thursday at the same time. Make sure you join us for that. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend. And as always, please remember to gamble responsibly.